Our scripture reading this morning is from Matthew 13 and also from Matthew 28. When Jesus finished these parables, he departed. When he came to his hometown, he taught the people in their synagogue. They were surprised and said, "Where did he get this wisdom? Where did he get the power to work miracles? Isn't he the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? Aren't James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas his brothers? And his sisters, aren't they here with us? Where did this man get all this?" They were repulsed by him and fell into sin. But Jesus said to them, "Prophets are honored everywhere except in their own hometowns and in their own households." He was unable to do many miracles there because of their disbelief. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Jesus came near and spoke to them, "I've received all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. Look, I myself will be with you every day until the end of this present age." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. And thank you, Alice, for sharing God's word this morning. Well, we are in a worship series where we are exploring the big questions of life and the Christian faith. The questions that we are exploring are based on questions that are found in the sessions of Alpha. And Alpha is an ecumenical, that's a multi-denominational, more than one Christian tribe, evangelistic program where the Christian faith is introduced through a series of talks and discussion. And it's a program that's been around for a while, about 44 years, I think, since 1977. And although it's changed over the years, Alpha still has the same mission, and that is to encounter the big questions about life and faith and to wrestle with the answers together. Now, I shared with you before that our church launched an Alpha program just this last fall, and it was a lot of fun, and we're going to be offering a new Alpha in just a few months, and you're all invited, if you haven't been before, or even if you have been before, to take part in that program. It is a lot of fun. So we're going to be wrestling with those questions, and most specifically, the answers to those questions. But something else that we're going to be doing in this message series is we are going to, everything's going to build on the previous Sunday. So this is one of those series where you might want to listen to the Sunday before. Last week, our question was, is there more to life than this? So spoiler alert for those of you that weren't able to worship last week or didn't watch or listen online, but we answered that question with a big yes. There is more to life than this because of the great I am. The great I am that Moses encountered in a burning bush. The great I am, who is Jesus? Jesus claimed in the Gospel of John seven times, that he said, "I am." And if you followed me on Facebook, you saw those images that Jesus shared. Because the great I am is in our life, then all of our lived experiences are filled with more. More light, more joy, more peace, more hope, more love, more life, more wholeness. More. So that answer leads us to this next question. If we had this great I am in our lives, if it is Jesus, then who is Jesus? And you know, I'm thinking about that question, how ironic it is to ask that question in the context of a worship service. I mean, we did start out with this wonderful prelude that Charlotte started out, which was all about Jesus. And then we had a prayer, and then we sang, "Come, Christians, join to sing, Holy is the Lord." We came together, and we heard the solid rock by the choir. We prayed, We had a children's time about the mission of Jesus. We even listened to scripture. So I'm thinking we should be able to answer this question. So for those of you that are online, in the chat or in the comments, get ready to answer this question, or you can write it down if you don't have that capability. For those of you here, I just want you to yell it out. Who is Jesus? Go. Our Savior, Son of God, our God. I heard, blah, 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 blah. What's up there? Ladder, guys, this man's ears have listened to too much rock and roll. Any more? God with us. All right, all right. Very awesome. Thank you for sharing. And for those of you who are online, I'm looking forward to your responses. Now, context means everything. If I was to ask this same question in the Plaza of Kansas City area, or Plaza area of Kansas City, if I was to ask this same question in Walmart's here in Harrisonville, we might get different answers. Answers like, he was a good man who lived a long time ago. Or, he never existed. He was a myth that was made up by man to control things. To, he's just one spiritual leader among many. We have family and friends that whose answers to who is Jesus would be closer to those answers than what you shared within the sanctuary, what you're sharing online, right? But one thing we know is that everybody has some sort of answer to the question, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Well, I would agree with the statement. I would say it's a fact that Jesus has had more impact on humanity than any human that ever existed. Think about that for a moment. You can debate me later if you disagree. But I'm thinking that Jesus had that kind of impact. He had so much impact on the ickles, the facets of humanity, sociological, historical, psychological, theological. Do you get the ickles there? And on and on and on. Friends, even our calendar that is used around the world, the most basic calendar, is based on what? When we believe Jesus died and was resurrected, right? After 2,000 years, by the year 2020, there are 2.6 billion Christians in this world. I think Jesus makes a big impact. But despite that impact, just like I shared in children's time, there is doubt. Again, you heard it in the scripture that Alice shared with us this morning, Jesus coming back to his hometown. And yeah, they can't see Jesus for who he is because they're too familiar with him. We remember when this guy was a little squirt. It's not in the scripture really, is it? But you know they're thinking that. He's the son of the carpenter. They don't even name Joseph. He's the son of the carpenter, whoever he was. He's the son of Mary. He's got all these brothers and sisters. We know him. He ain't anything special. He ain't nothing but a bag of chips. And they couldn't see Jesus. And their spiritual blindness, their connection to God through Jesus was so occluded, was so cloudy, that it says that Jesus couldn't even do any miracles there. He was probably doing miracles, but nobody could see it. Shocking of all, and I'm always fascinated by why Matthew would even include this. After everything is said and done, after Jesus' story has been told in the Gospel of Matthew, after wonderful teaching of the Sermon on the Mount, after all the wonderful things that have happened, and through all the struggle of his death and the glory of his resurrection, Jesus calls those most faithful to him to a mountaintop, a holy place, and Matthew tells us that they worshiped him, but some doubted. I think that's an important detail to add. You know, most of us would try to make the story better. They would kind of skip that part, right? They would excise that part. But Matthew says it's important to know that some doubted. And yet Jesus put them on a mission. We call it the Great Commission, to share Jesus' love with the world. We have doubts today. You heard those doubts in the how people answer the question on the streets of Kansas City or in the Walmarts of Harrisonville or outside the church of who is Jesus. But we hear those doubts in a lot of places because there is no physical evidence that Jesus was here. I mean, we don't have his bones. Throughout the centuries, there have been all these relics that people have tried to hold on to. Right now, people talk about the Shroud of Turin, but we don't know what that is. We don't have that physicality. We do have some historical writings that speak of Jesus, but there's some time after Jesus was on this earth. We have the writings of historians like Tacitus and Suetonius, Josephus, who's one of the greatest Jewish historians. But foundationally, friends, what we have is the Bible. As Isaac shared earlier in children's time, that is the witness to Jesus. That's where we find a revelation of who Jesus is. And it's in the Bible that the story is told. Now, maybe you doubt the veracity of the Bible or its relevance. I did as a young adult. I used to think that this book is filled with old words that mean nothing to anyone. That used to be on my heart, and I really believe this is all false. And why did I think that? Well, it's because I witnessed some Christians that were doing some things that weren't good. And that made me kind of question what the Bible was all about. Now, speaking of doubts about the Bible, that's an upcoming message. Why and how we should read the Bible. So stay tuned for that. But what I want to do now is I want to strongly encourage you, I want to challenge you to do something here. And that is, no matter where you are in your faith, no matter what you know about the Bible or what you believe, I want you to read the Bible no matter where you are. If you're in the midst of your doubt, read the Bible. If you have no doubts, read the Bible. And specifically, this is called the Gospel Challenge because I want you to read the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because those are the pages that will directly deal with the question, who is Jesus? And so I want to invite you to do that. I'm going to give you a deadline even. To kind of light a fire so that you might go, well, I'll do that sometime. What I want you to do is I want you to read those Gospels by March 1st. Sound good? Now I want to challenge you even more. Because I know how I would have used to have challenged this. And how I might even take on this challenge now. Do not go to Wikipedia. Do not go to the internet. And look up the cliff notes for each of the Gospels. I don't want you to read any articles about what anybody else says about the Gospels. I love the web series, The Chosen. But I do not want you to rely strictly on that TV production, that web series production, for all that you know about the Gospels. It is an inspiring show, but it is inspiring Christian fiction, okay? There are biblical things in there, but not everything in there is in the Gospels. You can be inspired by it, but know that. I don't want you to all of a sudden go out and rent a bunch of Bible movies or a bunch of Christian movies and say, this is what's in the Gospels. No, because each of those have fictional elements as well. The Passion of the Christ. How many of you saw The Passion of the Christ? That's one powerful movie, isn't it? Breaks your heart, and at the end, it's like, ah, Jesus is resurrected. Has some gospel parts in it, but Mel Gibson also used the writings of a Christian mystic as well as Christian tradition that welded into the story, not totally in the Gospels. Do you hear what I'm saying here? I want you to encounter the Gospels. Now, I know what you're saying. Kevin, I have read Matthew. I have read Mark. I've read Luke and John. read it again. Read them again, but now with a specific focus of who is Jesus. I don't care which versions of the Bible you read. I don't care what order you read the Gospels. Oftentimes when I go through the four Gospels, I start with Mark. Why? Because it's the shortest and it's the most action-packed Gospels. It just jumps right in and wow, you're there. Immediately is its big word. But Matthew has such a beautiful teaching within it. That's where you find the Sermon on the Mount and other really beautiful teachings. The Gospel of Luke shares Jesus' parables that aren't found anywhere else. The parable of the Good Samaritan, the parable of the prodigal son, and then John. Whew! What a wondrous gospel that is. Probably the most theological of all the gospels. That's where you find the I am sayings about Jesus. All these different gospels paint a different picture of Jesus. That's why you read all of them to get a fuller picture. Do you understand that? Friends, I'm asking you to do this. I don't care if you've read these gospels 101 times. I want you to read them again. Because I'd like for all of us to be on the same page as we go on this journey, especially as we prepare our hearts for Lent. The reason why we're going to the last day of February is because Lent comes in March. And I want our hearts to have read through all of the Gospels. Those of you online, especially. Friends, we've got more than enough time. Read them. You can listen to them books on tape if they are actually reading words of Scripture. Is that how you process? If that's how you learn? Don't watch anything visually, because in the acting out of what's on, that puts in different things too. What I would ask is that you would just simply read the good news. Are you up for that challenge? Oh, I'm hearing a little bit, Are you up for that challenge? Yes. Can you do that? If I seem like I'm really obvious here, I just want to just share with you my own reading habits. I start to read, I'll put it this way. I try to read at least one book a month, sometimes two. And I start out so well. And I have read every preface and introduction in those books. But when I get to chapter two, I get to the point of, well, I kind of think I'm done. Some of you might have that same habit. Don't do that here. Number one, the Gospels are shorter than most of the books that you and I read. But there's so much power there. And you will be changed in the reading. And you will be challenged because you've got to take it in. You've got to be able to answer the question, who is Jesus? And for those of you that said Son of God, God with us, all those different things, you've got to go beyond that. When you talk to people and you're introducing Jesus to them, you can't just say, well, he's the Son of God. Because then I could come back and say, well, what is a Son of God? Well, you know, there's a Son. You can't just do that. What does that mean to you? Who is Jesus to you? And so as part of this exercise, I also want us to engage in conversation. Every week I'm going to ask questions. And if I see you, I might ask a question, where are you in the gospel challenge? And to see where you are and to talk about what you've read. And again, some of you are going to wait till the 28th of February to read everything. Good luck with that. I hope that you start today in this challenge. You're going to be challenged. You're going to encounter doubts. One of the things that's going to happen is that you're going to encounter what Jesus says about himself. A lot of people that have said that Jesus is a good man, or he was a wise teacher, a rabbi. He was somebody who lived a long time ago, and he just inspired so many. Jesus doesn't claim that. Jesus claimed he was Messiah. Jesus claimed he was Son of God. He was Son of Man. That he was God with us. That he is the great I Am in the Gospel of John. And that's shocking to people. C.S. Lewis, a wonderful Christian writer. Some of you guys know his writing, Screwtape Letters, Chronicles of Narnia. He wrote this, and this is a quote many of you have heard, but I love reading it because it's just spot on. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He'd either be insane or else he'd be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else insane or something else. But let's not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. This is where faith comes in. So I hope that you take on the gospel challenge today. Now, what you're going to discover and what we're going to talk about next week in a part two question is, why did Jesus die? We're going to talk about something else that will happen as you're reading the Gospels, and that is this. Expect transformation because Jesus makes a call on your life. You don't audit the Christian faith. You don't just come to church and listen and then live out your life as you've always lived it out. Jesus transforms us, and you'll see that in the Gospels. You'll see that call there, especially when we talk about why Jesus died for us. And so I want you to be prepared for that because you're really going to have to take that in. So, message is real simple today. Read the four Gospels. You notice I haven't answered the question directly, but I'm pointing to the way. Read, discuss, engaged. You will be convicted, you will be challenged, and you will be blessed. I'm looking forward to seeing how we are all transformed in a month and a half. And if I don't see that transformation, then I will probably get on to us for not reading, because I know that we are going to change. Are you ready to change? Amen. Amen.